Good morning. And it is morning here. It is 5 a.m. and I decided to come on out here and sit on my patio. It is pitch black. I mean, just pitch black. The stars are shining and it's pure silence. Just pure silence. I mean, the birds are not awake. No, nothing is stirring. It is just complete silence. It's so strange coming here and experiencing this after coming from living in the city, you know, in California. And oh, there was no stars in the sky. You never saw a star in the sky because everything was so lit up. And then there were sirens all the time, you know, and there was just no peace. I mean, it was just so loud. And the traffic, you know, well, not at 5 a.m., but just in general, it was just loud. And so coming out here, it literally is like being in a different world. You know, I thought when I was living in Silicon Valley, well, it is true. Californians, for the most, I shouldn't say for the most part, that's not true. In the cities, San Francisco, San Jose, LA, right? You know, they live in the bubble. I mean, it's like, it's all, they live in their own world. It's just the truth. It's a whole different experience, mindset, way of living than the rest of the world lives. I don't know about the rest of the world. I'm exaggerating that. But I can tell you than outside of California. Let's just say that. It is. It's like its own bubble. And when you come out of that, you realize that you're in a bubble. Well, let's just say if you've lived outside of California and then you move into California and you're kind of living in California and you realize, wow, things are really strange here. Sorry. Strange probably isn't the right word. Different here. Because there are good people in California. California is not bad. I feel so sorry for California. I do. It's a beautiful state. It's a gorgeous state. It's an amazing state. And I loved it when I first moved out there. And it just, you know, this is what happens when you have poor leadership. Something that is so beautiful turns to absolute garbage, turns to absolute crap. And unfortunately, that's what happened. But, you know, it wasn't always like that. And it was a beautiful state. I mean, I moved out there in 2000 and it was great still, you know, and then really, really the past, I would say, let's see, 10 years is when it really, really started going downhill. And that's when, I think that's right. That's after, you know, they were releasing a lot of prisoners and because they were overcrowded and they were getting more lax on the laws, so they weren't prosecuting as many criminals. And, you know, it was just, then they had, I can't remember what it was called, but if they caused damage, but it was less than, what was it, like $900, I can't remember now, $940. Is that right? I think that's right. Then they wouldn't even be questioned. I mean, it was just, you know, not even worth going after. And I was in my studio So my studio, oh gosh, I'm going all over the place and I didn't mean to. Okay. Bear with me. I'll get to the topic that I wanted to get to, but where I play. Okay. So there was a theater in San Jose, California. It was, art deco-ish theater. It was art deco. Yeah, I would say so. Art Deco Theater. And, you know, it was a historical theater. And it was just, it was crap. I mean, here's what happened with it. So, at one time, it was a beautiful theater. And then, well, the city of San Jose decided to annex their parking lot. And they annexed the parking lot to this theater so they can make it into a parking, the highway. Well, when they did it, they no longer had parking at the theater. Okay. And so, you know, they took it by what's called eminent domain. And so they took the parking of this theater. Prior to that, it was a really popular theater. And but unfortunately, once the parking was gone, then there was no place to park. Well, you're going to lose your patrons. So unfortunately, the theater, legitimate theater, shut down. And then it became a another kind of theater. And if you know what I mean. So it became that, and then it was considered a nuisance. So then it was shut down. And then somebody, another owner tried to, this is kind of the history of it. Another owner purchased the property and tried to turn it back to a legitimate theater, but it can, no parking, not going to happen. So again, went back to being, you know, a place of ill, you know, so a different kind of theater again. Okay. And then it was pretty much just shut down. So there were two, owners of the property, and I looked at it, and you know, it was really run down. It hadn't been taken care of. There was graffiti on it, and there were, the marquee was all broken, and you know, it was just a sad, sad sight. And I remember I would drive past, I thought, you know, I would love, love, love to repair that theater. I think it would be wonderful to bring it back to its glory. And you know, because it saddened me because, you know, that building was built. And, you know, today in architecture, I mean, there are buildings that just go up and down and up and nobody cares. It's a throwaway society we live in. And not only for our vacuum cleaners, but for our homes too, right? There's no real thought really put into, you know, these subdivisions that go up and look like Monopoly houses. There's no real thought. There's no real art to it. I don't mean to offend anybody who might be, you know, an architect, but I mean, in these subdivisions, there's not. But, you know, back then when they were building with pride, and there was a signature of artistry that the architect and the, you know, had on their properties. And so, you know, I thought, you know, this building was built. Now, okay, maybe I'm romanticizing it, but just go with me here. This building was built, this theater was built with love, right? I mean, there's, you know, the tile work and everything so detailed and beautiful, you know, and now look at it. It's just sad. It made me very, very sad. And I've always loved historical buildings. I love history. So, you know, and seeing a historical building and see it just fall apart, it's just, I don't know. It's like just watching history being destroyed, and it's sad. Anyway, I got the opportunity somehow. I can't remember how it happened. It was like friends of friends of friends who knew the owners of the theater now, and they really weren't doing anything with it. And so, well, they had some ideas, and anyway, we won't go into that. I mean, nothing bad, but it was just like, you know, okay, whatever. Anyway, so we met with the owners, and we ended up renting the upstairs suite for my studio. Shocking. And, well, that was an entire mess. Eventually, it actually turned out to be an entire mess where I spent 8 years in a court battle, literally fighting my landlord. Okay. Anyway, but that is a whole other topic. I want to stay on the positive side on this, of this story. So we really, you know, thought, okay, you know, they had plans. So they said that they were going to renovate the theater, and, you know, we could turn the theater into a theater. We were upstairs, and we had our classes, our music classes and dance classes and acting classes in the upstairs studio, and where the projection room was, a whole upstairs. And then of course there was the theater, but it was completely, you know, unusable at the time. But they were saying, hey, we're going to renovate. I'm like, you know, we were like, oh, this is great. This is great. Well, they ended up doing nothing. And that was an entire fiasco in itself. Anyway, not important. The important thing was that, I don't even know why I said that. Well, that theater was just so beautiful and so, and then just so destroyed. And so much of California was like that. I mean, you have the Painted Ladies in San Francisco. You have so many beautiful, I mean, California has a lot of beautiful qualities to it. And, you know, of course, you got the beach and you got the mountains. I mean, you got all, anything you want to do, you can go. I mean, you can drive to pretty much to wherever you want to go. You want to go to, you know, Tahoe, you can go to Tahoe. You want to go skiing, you can go skiing. You want to go to the beach, you go to the beach. I mean, you want to go to the mountains, you go to the mountains. I mean, it's a beautiful state, and it's unfortunate what has happened to it. Anyway, I think I'm done with that rant. Let's get back onto the topic of what I want to talk to you about today. So I was talking to a lady yesterday, not a client, because I'm not meeting with a lot of clients right now, but I was just chatting with her, and she was sharing me some of her story. And I, you know, I wasn't going to do sidewalk, you know, coaching, because, you know, you really need to get to know somebody and spend time with somebody to really, you know, help, right? You know, just, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know, kind of just chit-chatting is not really going to give you a clear picture to help somebody. It's just not. So, you know, but we chatted and then I invited her to, you know, give me a call. We could set up a time to go a little bit more in depth. Anyway, so she was like, you know, you're such an expert at this, right? And I went, oh, no, I'm not an expert. And that's what I told her. I said, no, you're the expert. I'm just a guide. So what do I mean by that? That I'm not an expert. Well, I'm not. Now, do I have the training? I do. I have the training. I've put a lot of time into my training. And sorry, I just got into the car because I'm getting a little too cold. I should go back inside, but I'm not. I put a lot of time. I put a lot of money. I put a lot of energy into my training. But I'm no expert because I'm still learning. And what do I mean by that? Well, yeah, I mean, I am constantly learning. Learning and reading and studying and constantly trying to improve my knowledge, constantly trying to stay up to date. There's so much, you know, the health and even the life coaching and all that. There's so many, especially now, you know, so many things are coming out and about science and about biology and what's true and what's not true. And do viruses really exist? I don't know. Do we really have an immune system? I mean, now so many things are coming up and being questioned. Everything that was taken for granted is now being questioned. Antidepressants, are they really work? Do they really work? Do they really work like we think they work? Or have we been sold, you know, really some bad medicine here? So there's a whole lot of new information. So why I say I'm not an expert is because I'm still learning and growing. And I always will be, because I love learning. I love learning. And I'm going to continue to dive deep, learn more, and keep, you know, accumulating knowledge so that I can serve my clients or this podcast or anybody, my own family or anybody I come in contact, my community, anybody I come in contact, anybody I can help. I'm going to do that. And what I would say that I am, why I do what I do, is because I care. You know, I think I mentioned, I don't know how many episodes ago it was, that I have family members who, one, a brother who died of alcohol poisoning, and another brother who is also an alcoholic. And, you know, no matter how much, quote unquote, I know, if nobody wants help, you can't help them, you know? But it's, and while my brother who passed, while that was, of course, sad, what really, really was sad was not his passing. Because the truth is, we're all headed out of this earth. And that's the truth. We're all going to die one day. That's the one thing we can know for sure. Okay? But the one thing that was so sad about it was not that he passed. It was that he lived an unlived life. You know, nobody is born and says, I'm going to become an alcoholic. I'm going to become a drug addict. I'm going to be homeless. Nobody aspires to that. What is it that brings them to that point? And when someone's life is unlived, is, you know, the possibilities, the hope, the potential of what could have been is gone because now they're gone. And that, to me, is the most devastating and tragic. That is what's most tragic. Not the passing itself. It's sad. It's a loss, of course. But the fact that they never really lived. That's more tragic than the death. And I decided, you know, when my brother passed and seeing people I love, not just in my own family, just people I love, friends, you know, passing early or falling into deep depressions or, you know, or relationship issues or so many different issues. And I thought, you know what, I cannot do that. If I have it within my power to help somebody, I'm going to help them. I'm going to help them. Because I cannot see another person live an unlived life. I can't see another person go around feeling helpless. I can't see another person feel like it's over for them. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've been there feeling that personally. I've seen it within my own family. And I, by God, will not allow it. If it's in my power and they're willing, then I will do everything I can to help someone to see that they have been created for a beautiful life. And all they need to do is step into it, and I can help them do that. Of course, it's up to them. But I'm no expert, because you've heard me say it before. Only you are the expert on you. I or a coach or whatever can help guide, can help you to open you up to opportunity and seeing things from a bird's eye view, an objective point of view. But they're not the expert on you. I can't get inside of you and know what's really going on. Only you can do that. You can share that with me as much as, if you're a client, right? You can share that with me as much as you feel comfortable doing. And from there, then I can help guide. But in the end, there's nothing I can't do. I mean, I can't do anything that you aren't willing to do. And I mean, you meaning a client or family member or friend or your spouse. So, we think we can go around changing our spouse. Well, you know what? No, we can't. And so let's be fair. What we can do is be an example for our spouse. And that's what we can do. But to go around and shaking your finger in your spouse or your kids or somebody's face, and when I mean kids, I'm talking about adult kids, and you shoulda, coulda, shoulda done this and this and that and the other, well, that's not going to help. Nobody really listens to that, do they? I mean, we don't even listen to it, really. So why would somebody else? And anyway, so going back to being an expert, I mean, it's really nice when other people call you an expert. I mean, it is. It feels good. Sure, it feels good. Because it's like, yeah, damn right, man. I've spent some time in my training, and I have worked with a lot of people, and I have seen a lot of, results. So, yeah, thank you. And then I'm going, yeah, but I'm not. Because I'm still learning, and I'm still growing, and I'm still figuring it out. Because really, that it is figuring it out. So, and like I said, it's fun. Like I live in this community, and there was a neighbor who had a rash, and he's been having this itching rash for, years. And I was like, And I said, well, let me give you some of this. And I made him a concoction of my, scratch my itch lotion. Okay. Just a funny little name, but it's an herbal remedy. And I said, just try this and let's see what happens. Well, he put it on, and then he went away for the weekend, and he came back, and I said, so how was it? He said, I didn't itch all weekend. I said, did you apply it? He said, nope, I didn't apply it. I only applied it the one time when he came over to our house. He was working on his backhoe or something. And, I think it's a backhoe. I don't know. a big machine. So yeah, I don't do the farm work, obviously. Anyway, so, and he said, I put it on while I was here. And then his wife went on vacation, came back, and I haven't had any itch. And so then I asked him, so I made him his own container of it and gave it to him. And I asked him a week or so later, I said, so how's your itchings? And he says, no itching. I said, have you been using the lotion? Nope, haven't needed it. I'm like, what? Yeah. So sometimes you're like, oh, wow. All right. That was impressive. I mean, that was a quick, and he had been dealing with that for years, right? So I wasn't expecting that it would work that quickly, but sometimes you could be surprised. Let me tell you. I mean, the truth is figuring out our health, figuring out our life, or having a quote unquote expert try and help you to do that, right? And I'm saying help you, because it's a partnership, it's a collaboration, right? I know we look to the doctor for all the answers, and that's part of the problem, quite honestly. And unfortunately, they don't have it either. So the problem is that when the doctors, and I think there's stops listening to the patient and stops collaborating, trying to understand what's going on, right? It's a partnership. And they just tell you what to do, then, and you basically, you just, oh, these are your symptoms. Well, this is what it is. Well, maybe or maybe not. What's the story behind it? When did it happen? Is it an injury? There's a whole lot more to know about somebody's situation than just the superficial explanation. The superficial problem is typically not the real problem. But most doctors, and again, I'm not trying to disparage doctors, but most doctors, even if they wanted to, don't have the time, right? Office visit is what, 10 minutes if you're lucky? So they have time to hear your complaint and then write your prescription. Now, I'm not saying all doctors, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not going to constantly, you hear me. I'm not, there's good doctors out there. I've already said that, but Generally speaking, this is the way the situation, the establishment is planned. Okay. So, you know, but a lot of people, going back to being an expert, while it's nice to being told you're an expert or on the mountain here, I'm called the medicine woman, you know, lovingly, which is sweet. But the truth is, it's really like going to, I don't know, a department store, really, and trying on clothes, right? You pick out a whole bunch of things off the rack and you try things on. And like, oh, that doesn't fit. You throw it on back on the rack and that doesn't fit. And that doesn't fit. And, you know, the floor is filled with all the clothes that didn't fit and you hang them back on the rack and until you find something that fits. Well, that's not, I mean, I it's the truth, but I'm going to speak the truth. It's not very different than what happens. You know, you may try, whether it's a relationship and you or health, you may try one thing and you say, you try it and it doesn't work. So you try something else. It doesn't work. So you try something else. You figure out why is it not working. You know, you ask the questions, you contemplate and you think and you analyze, and then you try something else and it doesn't work. And then it does. And sometimes, like, our neighbor, my friend here, is like, it works immediately. So you never know, right? And, you know, if we can't even find a piece of clothing that fits us in one shot, you know, how much more complicated is our health or our relationships or our life, right? So it's, you know, we want the fast, quick answer, but sometimes there isn't, you know? And like I said, sometimes the problem isn't really the problem. Sometimes it takes time to really figure out what the real problem is, the root cause of something, before it can be fixed, right? Or, you know, so as far as being an expert, yeah, I'm no expert. And I will never use that term. I mean, not really, because the truth is, in my experience, people who, you know, are self-proclaimed experts, and this isn't everybody, but people I've met, like, you know, they call, I'm the expert at whatever. And it's like, they, you know what? The problem with that is that most people who call themselves experts, they think they know everything. And they stop learning. They stop growing. And when you stop learning and stop growing, then you're going to be behind. Because the world, life, health, everything, our knowledge, our information is, I mean, it's, we are new information all the time, and we have to sift through it, obviously, to make sure what's right and what's wrong and what's real, what's not, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's BS and, you know, pushed on from the media, and what's true. I mean, how much of diet things were pushed from the media, like, you know, high cholesterol is dangerous and you shouldn't eat saturated fat, you know, all those things, you know, there's so many more, but, you know, which are just lies and propaganda for the food industry. Okay, I'm not going to get on that soapbox, but my point is, you know, we have to be ready to do the research and do the deeper dives. And if somebody who considers himself an expert thinks they know it all, then they're not going to do that deeper dive. And unfortunately, then they're not going to be able to help people, because they're not going to be able to stay on top of things and stay up on top of the new research or information comes out. And they're going to fail at helping. So I would prefer to consider myself not an expert. I'm still in the game and I am still learning. But what I am is someone who's super, super serious about helping people and caring for people and wanting to see people live their best life. And I really do mean this when I say the life that you were created for. Because again, we don't wake up. We're not born thinking, I'm going to be homeless, you know, aspiring to being a drug addict or an alcoholic, aspiring to, you know, being depressed, aspiring to being anxious, all these things. This is not what we were designed for. This is not what God created us for. So we need to take a hold of our lives. We need to be the expert of our own lives and take a hold of it and taking control of it and saying, this is not the life that God created for me to be. Now, maybe you are living in the life that created you to be. Fantastic. And if you're not, you are the expert on what it is. Find someone, if you want, to help guide, to help collaborate, to help you, to give you that bird's eye view and that objective point of view, right, that we all need, right? Because our friends are great, but our friends are friends and they don't really want to rock the boat. You know, they want to just be your friend. Yeah, you're great. No, you don't need to lose weight. No, you're fine. Oh my God, I love you. You're beautiful. Right. Okay. No, your butt doesn't look fat in those jeans. All right. I mean, your friends are your friends. I mean, if you got a friend who's honest with you, that's a real friend. But most of our friends are going to just keep the peace. Right. Oh, he doesn't deserve you. Yeah. Well, you know, is your friend really going to point out? Yeah, but you know what? It's your fault too, right? Two takes two to tango. Most likely not, right? So this is where someone with an objective point of view can come in. Someone who has tools, somebody who has, you know, skills, somebody that has techniques and strategies that can help you. But it's a collaboration of experimenting and trying things on and seeing if it works, right? So being an expert, well, you wouldn't do all that because you know it all. And no one knows it all. So if no one knows it all, then can anyone really be an expert? Now, you can be an expert on yourself. I can be an expert on myself because, you know, all that information's in me. I just got to ask the questions of myself. I just got to tune in to what's going on, you know? So I think I wanted to say that because I think we look too much to experts, quote unquote, for answers. And most of the experts haven't a clue. Think about what happened in the past, since 2020, right? All these experts changing their minds every day. All these experts fooling us on what to believe and what not to. So it is good to have someone on your side. And it is good if there's got skills and abilities to help you. But putting somebody on an expert status over your life? No. Only you have that status. Only you can get to know who you are. Only you have that deeper knowledge. Well, only you do. You are the expert of you. And I'm the expert of me. And in this field of that I'm living in and working in, I'm still learning and growing. And isn't that fun when we can just say, what's next? What's next to learn? What's next to eat? Ooh, more information, more knowledge, more fun, right? I love learning. And when we have that, I guess I could be an expert at learning because I love doing that. All right. I don't know. I don't know where I went with that today, but somewhere maybe. We'll see. Listen, have a great day and I'll talk to you soon.